Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all ships out at sea. This is Southcars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the Southcars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice. The SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such, and all stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this morning is going to be Kathy, K6SUN, Ms. Sunshine, and our net manager. And she will be backed up this morning by Mike up in Maine, and that's WA1NXI. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, call now, please. Okay, everything's quiet. How about birthdays? Anybody celebrating a birthday today, yesterday, last week, this week? If so, we'd like to bring you right up in front of the net here and say congratulations. Over. I don't know how we're doing it, but we're not getting any older, it looks like. This is the Sunday morning rag chew, guys and gals. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. And as mentioned, our topic this morning is going to be Christmas traditions. So without ado, good morning, Kathy. The podium is yours, KY6V to K6SUN.
Well, good morning, Gordon, and good morning to everyone on Southcars this morning, and thank you for introducing the program this morning. Actually, Vero Beach is a little bit stormy this morning. 73 is my temp, high of 77 today, and a cold 54 overnight, and we're expecting thunderstorms. But we're here this morning, and we should be bright and sunshiny because the Christmas season is coming. But once again, welcome everyone this morning to our Sunday morning rag chew. You know, as our Christmas season continues, I want to know some of your traditions, your special activities and fun with family and friends. Do you use mistletoe? Is your Christmas live, or is it one of those fake ones? Do you go Christmas caroling? Do you give out gifts? And, you know, on that season goes. The holiday of Christmas is as much a part of America as its flag. Its symbols and traditions are richly embedded into our culture. The winter holiday season for most is the time of the year that most love because of the twinkling lights, the snowflakes, the cheerful carols, the spirit of generosity, the excitement of children's faces, the baking, the toasting, and the gathering of family and friends. Some love roasting those chestnuts, you know, and it's easier than you think. And you do not even need an open fire. An oven will do. Kissing your husband or wife under the mistletoe. Watching It's a Wonderful Life for the 100th time. Hanging lights and decorating your tree with glitter and sparkle in childlike glee. Yes, Christmas is full of joyful rituals. So this morning, as we get closer and closer to that special celebration, we want to hear from you and about your celebrations of that holiday season. So, how about some initial check-ins before we begin our program this morning? If you don't want to share your traditions, simply check in and say hi. So at this point, suffix is please.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
6, Victor.
Oscar Victor India.
November X-ray India.
All right, I have a list of four gentlemen. I have Mr. Jack, K4JAK, 6 Victor, Mr. Pete up there in DeLand OVI, and my backup, NXI. Let me see if I have any others before I call on all of these. So if you want to check in, be the first to check in this morning and tell us about your traditions. Now's the time to come aboard. So I'm just looking for some additional check-ins. All right, hearing nothing at this point, and that's fine. But we hope that you'll come aboard and share that special time you have during this time of the season. But I'm going to start with you, Mr. Jack. Last night we had a very special trivia session on December, and it was a lot of fun, and hopefully soon it'll be posted on the website. Tell us how your weather is and what your plans for the holiday season are. And it sounds like you're going to be doing some baking. So thank you for being my very first check-in, and thanks for being here this morning. K4JAK, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and good morning. And good morning to South Cars, K4JAK Jack, here in a beautiful, overcast Fort Pierce, Florida. Currently 74 degrees and raining. Should be off and on all day today. They said thunderstorm starting at about noon, so we'll see what happens. I may have to unhook the HF. We'll just have to see what happens there, but not a whole lot. Today is Sharon's birthday, by the way, so I just thought I would throw that out. I didn't want to get in earlier because, you know, she's not going to check in and say anything about her birthday. So I'd just like to throw that out there and say happy birthday again. She's listening, probably chuckling in the other room, but, you know, the kids like celebrating their mama's birthday. You know how that goes. But anyway, for a tradition here a couple of years ago, we started a new one here as far as for the Christmas dinner. We do a steak and shrimp marinated, both of them marinated, and man, it turns out real good. So I don't know yet if we're going to do that this year or not. We have discussed it, but we still have a little bit more time before we have to get the fixings to prepare for it. So other than that, I don't know if you heard her there or not, but she said 55, so I don't know if you heard her in the background. She's a little grumbly, but hey, what can I say? She's a birthday girl. K4JAK, back to net.
Well, thank you so much, Jack. And Sharon, I heard you in the background. I'm not sure if that was the age you were telling. It's not nice to tell a lady's age. But I hope that she has a very special birthday and that you're going to do something very special for her. But I heard you tell Mr. OBI something about chocolate chip cookies this morning, and you said you would make your own, and that just reminded me of something. You know, I work at the Data House along with Dale Cassens, and Data House is going to be a special time for the kids there as well as the staff. It's about the first time that I've shared gifts with each and every one, and so the staff at Data House, we're going to put together some goodies for them, and I've got to make some chocolate chip cookies for that. And it's going to be a short week in St. Lucie County. It's a couple early release days, and it is final exam week, midterm exam week, and because our semester ends on Friday. And on Friday, I'll be heading a little bit north for 2 weeks of rest and relaxation, so I'm looking forward to that. Well, Jack, I hope that you'll come back aboard as we go through the typical traditions and tell us how you're going to do those traditions. But once again, Sharon in the background, happy, happy birthday from myself and South Cars. So with that, I'll break with you, Jack, and I'm going to pick up Mr. Six Victor. Mr. Gordon, thanks so much for that special program last evening. I really enjoyed that. And that's the best one I think we've had in a long time as far as trivia, but thank you for that. Mr. Gordon, what do you do for traditions in your household? KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, come aboard.
Hey, well, thanks, Kathy. I thought I would jump in here before I started to work on that podcast that you mentioned from last night. That was a great program. Miss Sharon, good morning. Happy, happy. Very special lady, ladies and gentlemen. And she, I don't know what that 55 was, but she's not a day over 33. So we'll leave it at that. And yeah, it's a yucky morning out here, Kathy, just like you and Jack were reporting. The land area is seeing about 63 degrees, at least that's what it was when I hit the deck. We're going to have a rip-roaring, blistering 68 top today, so that's not very good. for the state of Florida. 60% chance of rain, and it's done some of that already. So as Jack mentioned, it's going to be on and off all day. I looked at the weather radar here before we got started with the net, and the whole state's got it. So it's going to be wet and ducky. Winds are about 15 miles an hour, and there you have it. So what are my traditions? Try to stay out of trouble, Kathy. KY6V, back to you.
Well, Gordon, I think that's something all of us try to do, but that's not always the case. I don't think I was in trouble last week, but I think we've talked about my children at Data House. I have this daily discussion with them on expectations and what is right and what is wrong. And so they keep telling me, do we have to have this lecture every morning? So I don't think it's things I'm doing wrong. I just have that humor with them. And I said, we're trying to put you on the right path. So thank you for joining us this morning. And, you know, and I'm heading sort of a little bit north of Vero. And usually it's really cold this time of the year. I'm going to have to look at some weather and see what I need to be packing, because I think last year it was sweatshirts, and I know in our area it's going to be in the 80s, so I'm going to have to check on some of that weather. Thanks for being here, but I sure hope that you'll come aboard and share as we go through the traditions, you know, the tree and the mistletoe and the food and the gatherings. But thanks for being here to check in first this morning. So with that, Mr. OVI, tell us about your traditions. What do you do in your household? What do you do as far as food, baking, and maybe the Christmas tree, and anything else you do? Thanks for being here this morning as well as last evening. We enjoyed your input. KD4OBI, please come aboard.
And this is KD4OBI, Virginia, coming to you live from Central Florida, where it's partly cloudy, a lot of humidity, and around 70, I'm just going to take it hot shot at 70. I could be wrong a couple of degrees here and there, but I put a little thing in the text box there, so I'm going to read it. Hey, you all, come to Florida, keep warm. I don't know if that's going to attract any tourism or not, I don't know. But that's right anyway. But the tradition is open up your gifts at Christmas Eve. Then at least you can enjoy the morning after. Enjoy playing with your gifts without having to worry about having the dirty floor with all that wrapping paper screwing over the place and empty boxes and all that stuff. At least you can have a clear road to your breakfast table without stumbling over stuff. And Christmas tree, paramount, outside decorating the eve there with some Christmas bulbs flashing in and out like icicle style. That's in the making. Definitely a tree with ornaments all over the place. Sprinkled with that aluminum. That real sprinkly aluminum stuff on there. And really make it shine. So at least the Santa Claus can find a way around. And make sure you leave your porch light on during nighttime. Who knows who's going to be visiting you at Christmas Eve. From KD4OBI, Virginia, back to net control. Over.
Well, Pete, that silver aluminum stuff you're talking about is tinsel. And those of us who have kitty cats, you know, that's not a good thing, because they like to go up there and bat that tinsel and chew on it. And I remember the years with kitty cats and my trees that they would jump up with those satin balls and untwine that satin ball. And that was all over the place. And so I don't do too much with Christmas trees anymore, because it's just myself and my kitty cat, and I don't want to see that distributed through the house. So no one talked about live or fake Christmas trees, but hopefully when we get into Christmas trees, we'll have people come aboard and share, because I think the tradition of the live tree has sort of maybe gone on the wayside, and people get those fake ones so that they don't have to have all the the droppings, like you said, Pete, on the ground. So I'm going to break with you, but I sure hope that you'll come aboard as we go through the different traditions and tell you about them, and you can share with us further. But Mr. NXI, I was listening just briefly to a conversation you were having with Todd in Honolulu or Waikiki Beach, so maybe you could tell us what happened with weather with you. We were talking with Paul last night, and he was expecting quite a bunch of snow, and Mr. Syracuse, Gary, was expecting a lot. So maybe you can tell us what you did get for a storm last evening, of course, and talk to us about traditions. Mr. NXI, WA1NXI, Mr. Mike, thanks for being my backup, but please come aboard.
Well, good morning, Kathy, and everybody aboard, and my pleasure to be your backup, Kathy. I'm glad to do it. Yeah, we got, I'd say it's a little over a foot of snow right now. It's fluffy and blowing around, so it's really hard to tell. But when I look out in the driveway, I can't see the tires on my truck, so I know it's deep, but it's going to plow easy because it's light, fluffy stuff, so I'm not too worried about it building up. It's blowing all over the place and makes it hard to see is the worst part about this kind of snow, but it sure is pretty up in all the trees and stuff. I really enjoy that view. I just don't enjoy the coldness of it. If snow was warm, it'd be awesome. for holiday traditions, Kathy, one of them is Christmas morning breakfast with all the kids and grandkids. They all come over to Papa's house and open up their presents, and I make a big breakfast and just about everything I can think of to make. Last couple of years, I've been making a crock pot type breakfast, and they really like that. The grandkids put it right to them, so I went out yesterday and got all the bacon and home fries and all that stuff. So I have it all ready for Christmas morning. And like Jack, I like to put up some Christmas lights, but actually I kind of skimped on that this year because it won't be long and I'll be stripping off the siding off the side of the house and gonna re-side our house with, I don't know if you know what live edge pine siding is, but it's gonna, well, I hope it looks as nice as it does in my mind. I've got all the siding down in the cellar, and I've been starting to sample out different shades of stain and stuff to see what color I'm gonna go with, but so far I think it's gonna be natural oak. Is the one I like the best. It shows all the knots and stuff in the wood. It looks really, really pretty. And so I'm thinking that's what I'm going to go with. I got a couple more that I'm going to try out before I make the final decision. But so that kind of put a damper on putting a whole bunch of lights up because I didn't want to have to take them all back down and for the siding. And I got some plowing to do today, so I'll be out plowing. I hope it doesn't snow for Christmas, because that's not a tradition I want to get into, is plowing the driveways on Christmas. But other than that, Kathy, not a lot going on. I'll turn it back to you before I time out here. This is WA1NXI, back to K6SUN.
Well, thank you, Mike, and it's been a long time since you and I have talked, and we miss you doing a net every once in a while, so I hopefully that things will get a little less hectic for you and you can maybe do one of those for us. Live edge siding, I assume it's like a natural type siding when you're talking about staining, so maybe at one point that we're talking today you can come back and share that with us. But every piece of furniture in my house is light. It's like the oak finish because I like the lighter color. And the plowing, I heard that this morning with you. You know, like you said, if it was warm, snow, it would be fantastic. But you know, it's always cold, and with that wind chill, it's always bad. But it is pretty to see. It's just that I don't enjoy the cold weather. And but at any point, Mike, you come back aboard. We're actually going to talk about that, Mike. In as we talk about food, so I'm sure you'll come aboard and share that with us. So let me drop it here one time, and let me go into our first tradition we have, and that is the Christmas tree. You know, Christmas traditions have a way of feeling timeless. You may have seen the same ornaments, sung the same songs, and eaten the same foods for your whole life. Some Christmas traditions are in fact ancient. They have been pre-Christian roots and originate from pagan winter solstice celebrations or Roman festivals. Other traditions are relatively modern, either rescued from oblivion or conjured up in the surprisingly recent past. So let's first share a bit about our typical traditions. We're going to talk first about the Christmas tree. You know, the practice of tree worship has been found in many ancient cultures. Often trees were brought indoors and decorated to ensure a good crop for the coming year. Trees have also been linked to divinity. Egyptians associate a palm tree with the god Baal Tamar, while the Greeks and the Romans believed that the mother of Adonis was changed into a fir tree. Adonis was one of her branches brought to life. The modern Christmas tree was likely born in the 8th century when Saint Boniface was converting the Germanic tribes. The tribes worshipped oak trees, decorating them for the winter solstice. Saint Boniface cut down an enormous oak tree that was central to the worship of a particular tribe, but a fir tree grew in its place. You know, the evergreen was offered as a symbol of Christianity, which the newly converted Germans began decorating for Christmas. Let me drop it here for a moment. The Christmas tree came to the United States from Germany, but its origin isn't in Germany, but actually goes way back to Egypt. The Egyptians held a midwinter festival in honor of their god, Horus. It was the son of Isis, the goddess of motherhood and fertility. Their symbol for this was a palm tree again, with 12 shoots, one for each month of the year. The Roman festival of Saturnalia decorated trees with candles and also brought laurel boughs into the house on January 1st. During our trivia last night, we talked a lot about Saturnalia. The Germany tree originally wasn't a real tree, but a wooden-shaped pyramid structure covered with evergreen boughs. Although Christmas trees are seen all over, schools, shops, malls, homes, office buildings, libraries, and open public places, they do not play as big a role in our Christmas in America as they do in Germany. In America, we place gifts under our trees. In Germany, the tree is the focal point, decorated behind closed doors and revealed on Christmas Eve. No one is too poor or too grouchy to not leave a Christmas tree in Germany. And if someone is unable for some reason, sick, for example, someone will give them a tree. Let me drop it here once again. In America, and you may see this, a fir tree is placed at the highest point of a building under construction, no matter how high the building. This occupational symbol is a reminder of the work that goes into a new building and the people who make this a modern miracle. Now, before I ask for check-ins, let's talk about what goes on the top of that tree, the star. And a lot of times people put angels, but we're going to talk about the star. The early Babylonians, Egyptians, and the Chinese and the Jews all had stars that were important to their religions. But the star at the top of our trees for Christmas, for the most part, represents the Star of Bethlehem. In some cases, some feel it represents the North Star, like the sailors. But if you put it there to represent the Star of Bethlehem, you might want to know that some scientists feel that this was more of a supernova, while others feel it was a comet or a meteor. Others feel that in 6 BC, the planets of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn were aligned very close, forming a very bright triangle known as Pisces that might have been the Star of Bethlehem. If this is true, then this would also change the date of Jesus' birth. So the star on our tree is to guide us through the season and through the year. So, with that, I'm going to throw it out there for check-ins to talk about your tree and what you put on the top of it and maybe your decorations. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November looking for some more check-ins.
Victor Hotel.
All right, I have Mr. Steve up there in Louisiana. Ah, come on, guys, ladies and gentlemen. Tell us about your tree. Do you use a fake tree? Do you use a real tree? What do you put on that tree? And what do you put on the top of it? So, and do you use tinsel? Do you use dolls? Do you use handmade gifts? Come on, come aboard and share how you decorate your tree. Any more check-ins at this point?
Oscar, India.
All right, I'm going to pick up these two fine gentlemen, but I know the rest of you decorate a tree. You have a Christmas tree. Where do you put it? You put it in your family room. You put it in your kitchen. You put it in the bedroom. Is it live? Is it fake? And when do you start putting up that tree? I know each and every one of you are going to put up a tree, so I sure would hope that you'd share that with us. Well, Mr. Steve of Louisiana, I hope the weather's a little better for you today. Right now it's a little stormy out here, a light rain, but it is going to be a little bit warmer probably than further north. So, Mr. Steve, thanks for being there last night, and thanks for being here this morning. Come aboard. Share with us about your traditions, and especially about the Christmas tree.
Well, good morning, Kathy, and good morning to everyone on the net. From Lafayette, Louisiana, 41 chilly degrees. It's going to be cloudy all day. Maybe 50 degrees today if we're lucky. And looking at the upcoming week, pretty much the same. So no sunshine. We'll just have to take it a day at a time. In terms of the Christmas tree, that's an awful lot of questions. Our Christmas tree is in the living room. It is about 7.5 feet tall. It has a white illuminated star on the top. Tinsel, glass, and other ornaments are used, some of them handmade. And this year the challenge is to keep Bingo from racing around the house and running under the tree and getting hooked up in the tinsel or something else and shaking the tree. And I can assure you that we have a traditional, real, artificial tree. Back to you, KF5VH.
Steve, a real artificial tree. You'll have to tell me what that is. But I was going to ask you about Bingo. This is his or her first Christmas. And probably doesn't know what a Christmas tree is. I've been through that with mainly cats. They like to go through that center of that tree. My kitty cat is an indoor cat. But outdoor cats, you know, they like to climb trees. So they'd like to go through the center of that tree, get to as far as they could. And then all of a sudden the tree took a tip. I had that one year. The tree was on its side and the balls were all off because the kitty cat climbed up the middle. So hopefully Bingo won't do that. And when you're sleeping, maybe you need to lock that living room. But you'll have to share with us what a real artificial tree is. Living room is a good place. 7.5 feet is pretty good. And a white star illuminated on the top. And, you know, I saved a lot of my ornaments from when I was a child. And I think I've lost some of them in the move from Michigan to Florida. So, and like I said, I don't put too much up anymore because it's just myself, and it usually ends up coming down. But thanks for being here, Steve, this morning, and I hope as we go on, you'll come aboard and share to anything further. I'll break with you, and I'll pick up Mr. Pete OVI. Tell us about your Christmas tree, Pete. And it is tinsel that you put on it. And hopefully we can get some more check-ins to come aboard and share as well. But Pete, come aboard.
Oscar Lake, India. Oh, tinsel, right. I couldn't remember that. Right, I used the next up description, aluminum. But anyway, the story here is, you could have a little choo-choo train. The bottom of the skirt there running around, you know, advertising Christmas. And, oh, you got to put, I think you don't just put ornaments on trees. You put gingerbread, man up there. You can put a little bit of frosting on it. You can put you can even put these little chocolate Hershey drops on them. You know, they got that little thing coming out of the top of it. You can put a little wire there and then hang them out all over the place. So you can have some snacks right on the tree. And you put the Christmas nativity scene underneath it. You put a red and a white, what's that sort of white, it's like a little small segment of white around a red carpet that you put underneath it or display. Or you can do all sorts of good things to a tree to spruce it up, but put gingerbread on there, the man on there, and all sorts of good stuff. Entice the kids to go on the tree and pick up their candy and stuff off the tree. It's like another gifting ceremony for the tree. And it's always good. You put you put an angel on top of the tree too. That's not too bad. You can do that too. And this is the contribution on the Christmas tree from this. You put artificial snow on the tree. But a real tree, remember, you put a real tree in there. Put a little soil underneath there. Put a little water on there. And that'll somehow extend the life of the tree. From Katie Kowalski of Victor, India. Over to Net Control.
Well, Pete, thanks so much for sharing that. And the text box, you may want to look. Steve from Lafayette, Louisiana, put in there what the word tinsel means. It means sparkle. I'll tell you a little bit about the trees I've had in the past. They're not typical. At the top, I used to be a designer for many, many years, and so I use a big bow. And I stream it down through the tree, and it's usually satin, and I like burgundies. Or pinks. I like pink, but I use burgundy. So I take that bowl from the top, and I stream the streamers all the way to the bottom, and I put them in and out of the branches. And then I put bows throughout the tree, so I decorate it with that. But I also do the traditional, you know, the balls and the bells. Candy canes are a good thing to put on a tree as well. And, you know, we all have different things we put on it. That's never the traditional red and green colors anymore. It can be white, it can be blue, it can be burgundy, any color you want to use. And everyone knows I will put anything that has to do with pink on a tree. So with that, let me throw it out there. I see Mr. George has just appeared here this morning. George, we're talking about Christmas traditions, and you have some great traditions in your household. We're talking about that Christmas tree, how you decorate it. Is it real? Is it fake? And I know this is a very special season for you and your household. So I'm going to throw it out there once again to anyone who's connected that would like to come aboard and share with us about their Christmas tree. How do they decorate it? Is it real? Is it fake? Do they spray that snow on it? Do they put bows on it? Do they put ornaments? Do they put the handmade ornaments? So at this point, let me throw it out there once again to talk about the Christmas tree before I move into mistletoe. Any check-ins? Any further check-ins? Come aboard.
Oh my, Charlie Bravo.
6, Victor.
Hey, Papa.
6, Victor.
November, X-Ray, India.
Victor Hotel.
Well, this is just super. I must have woke everyone up this morning talking about Christmas trees. Actually, Pete, if you're listening, Pete talked about putting soil in a real, you know, in the stand in a real Christmas tree. What I always used to do to prolong the life of it, you know, because everybody I often wonder here in Florida how long the trees will last. Up north, you can leave those trees outside until they're ready to be brought in. But I think even in Michigan and in Florida, when I had the real Christmas tree, to prolong its life, I'd put 7-Up or Sprite, Pete, in there instead of water, and it prolonged it a little bit. You may want to try that. So with that, I have quite a few check-ins here, and I'm really excited to see what everyone has to say. And thank you, Mike, for that. I look forward to looking at that. Mr. LCD, this is a very special time in your household, Christmas and the decorating and the tree. So I want you to share with everyone what your tree looks like and what your traditions in your household are. And I hope that all is well in the household. And Miss Twinkles is getting ready for Mr. Claus to come to her household. KW4LCD, please come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, and let me say a good morning to you and a goodness to everyone connected this morning, no matter what time it is. Yes, Kathy, the month of Christmas is very special to us, and well, it kind of starts before that. As you know, I have a 42-year-old mentally challenged daughter there, and one of her, well, I'd say her biggest joy is a Christmas time, you know. Starts out, he's coming soon. But, you know, traditionally, when Katie and myself, our first Christmas together, we agreed upon going out and getting a fresh cut Christmas tree, you know, for Christmas every year. And that's what we have been doing since then. And we usually, let me pause for the calls. I know Six Victor shining that crystal up for me, but you know, I start out with a regular, well, depending on size, you know, what size the tree. We've got a little smaller one this year, but a bucket, you know, and if I have to, I put blocks, rocks, concrete in it, you know, whatever, you know, for the weight, for stability. And then fill it the rest of the way up with water, and always add an aspirin or two through the duration. And our trees has lasted months. We'd have to take them out and set it out on the back porch because Miss Twinkles wanted to keep it around one more day. So, you know, we had to do that. And you have, there's so many nice things from a fresh tree. You get the smell of the pine, you know, or every once in a while, too, you might get one of them little creepy crawly critters. So you got to make sure you get it shook out pretty good. But decorations, we've got them from past on generations, and we'll hang them, and it's a good time to look back into your book of memories and experience some of the ones that made Christmas so special to you over the years, the ones that's with us and the ones are not, you know, and just be thankful that they was into your life at that time to bring you that memory of joy and happiness. With that, let me get out of here and let it roll on. But thank you this morning, Kathy, and sorry we missed the kickoff. But we'll listen up. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, thank you, Mr. George, for coming aboard. You're not late at all. It's just really started, and it looks like we may have a great, great session. We had a great trivia session last evening on Christmas trivia. It was December trivia. We didn't get very far. Gordon and Gary and myself ran it, and we had some great participation and some great comments. And Paul up there, he's from Danbury. He's up in New Milford right now, but he and his household really had a lot of fun with it last night, and hopefully before too long it'll be posted, so I think you'll enjoy listening to that. Well, that's good about the fresh cut tree, and I know that that's very special. And I'm thinking, I haven't had anything fresh with the pine in a house in quite some time, but it is I used to get the real tree and cut branches off and decorate the outside with those boughs, so maybe I'll try doing that this year, just getting a pine wreath just to smell that scent, because that is a wonderful scent. Now, this is the first year, George, I think you've had a kitty cat, so you want to be aware what that kitty cat will do. It will go up through that tree thinking it's outdoors, and it will start pulling down those balls and untwining those balls and tipping over that tree and eating that tinsel, so you want to be aware of that. But thanks so much for coming aboard and sharing with us, and at some point I hope that you'll share with us what Twinkles has in her mind this year for gifts as we go through our program this morning. So with that, George, I hope you can listen in and come back aboard at any time. VXP, Mr. Ohio, come aboard and share with us about your tree, your traditions about the tree in the past and maybe the future and present. And tell us if your weather is bad as well. So, Mr. Rick, please come aboard.
This is N1VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. First, I'll mention about the weather, kind of a strange weather we've had. I didn't realize that our high temperature was actually last night. I kept watching on the Weather Channel on the internet, and didn't realize that the high temperature was 39 degrees at 8:05 last night, and that was kind of warm for a high temperature at that time of the day. Of course, I stayed up a little late last night and realized that it didn't really drop down until early this morning, but at 12 midnight, it was at 36, so I guess our high temperature for the day will be listed as 36, even though they're saying currently it's 28, and I think they said the high temperature is supposed to be 29, so I have that feeling that 36 temperature at 12 midnight would be considered our high. Then we go back down in the teens for tonight and get kind of chilly, but I've been used to it, so it's nothing unusual. But just the idea of the high temperature in the evening is normally when it should be the low temperature, so kind of crazy. I have a, let me drop for a second. I have a, it's roughly about a 3.5 foot artificial tree that was given to me when I moved here to Ohio, and it's just something I just pull out of the box. It's pretty well, it's already got the lights on. I just have to put the little decorations on, and it was given to me by a relative that said, well, at least you don't have to go out and get a tree. And it was just something. I rearranged the living room to put one little table up in the corner so I can set the tree on. But it looks nice. Going back to my childhood, when I was in Michigan, I can remember that my father would get the Christmas tree. And I can remember having different types of trees. We had the long needle nose, long needle pine. Then we had the short needle. Of course, we always liked the long needle because it really gave off that fragrance of pine. And it was just something about when we pulled the decorations out that, I don't know, it was like a special feeling in the household when we saw the decorations, my brother and I, that, you know, it was just something, you know, we started to put the decorations up and really enjoyed doing the decorating of the tree. Let me drop one more second. It was just a, you know, kind of a moment where both my brother and I all of a sudden became very quiet, putting up the decorations, and it got to the point where we all, even my mother was helping out, and she would say, all right, now where are we going to put this decoration? And she thought, at first we were, both my brother and I were going to argue as to where we put things, and it was surprising that we were very quiet. We almost, like, worked together and never complained about putting this or that in spots. Tree always came out really nice. My father came home from work and, you know, we put the lights on, and I can remember having one string of lights that if one light bulb burned out, the whole string was out. So we had to sit there and try to figure out where, which light bulb was burned out. And the following year, my father said, that's it. We got to get the new lights. And we got the kind that you don't have to worry about one bulb burning out and the whole string out. And I can remember having the string of lights. My mother wanted to get them, but my father said, no, they're too expensive. But they were like the little globe with a little tube with a bubble type of thing. And it was always a lot of fun. Let me drop one more second. I thought I was going to sneeze, but I didn't want to sneeze in the mic. It was the idea that, you know, we felt that it was a special time. Of course, we would take the tree after Christmas and put it outside. And we would actually decorate it with food items so that the birds would have some place to feed on. And I can remember in the spring, of course, up in Michigan, they had a policy of open burning in the yard. So once the tree pretty well dried out, we would chop it up and throw it into a barrel and burn it. But it was, you know, neighborhoods, all the kids would visit each other, and we would try to see who had the best Christmas tree. But it was a lot of fun. And it was just, I always think of Christmas as that time of year where families get together and really enjoy the togetherness and all the memories. But, yeah, I do have plans on visiting with a couple of cousins and an aunt. And we had planned on, we were thinking of getting together for Thanksgiving, but so far, it looks like Christmas is going to be quite the thing to do. Other than that, I do have a few other things if you to share a little bit later. N1VXP back to Net Control.
All right, thank you so much, Rick, for sharing all that with us. You know, I remember the years as my son was very young, of going out to those farms, those Christmas tree farms, and cutting down your own tree. You know, I don't like winter, didn't like the cold, didn't like doing that, but it was something special for Sean, and we'd always get that real tree. I don't think I ever put it up as early as I've seen people start putting them up in October, especially around Thanksgiving when they're having special events with the family, they put up the trees. But as far as the trees, taking them out, I think after Christmas is over, all I see, and I'm not sure if I see that too much in Florida, of Michigan, they'd take down the tree and they'd put them out for the trash man. And they would come around and pick up those trees. And a lot of times they give you bags right when you buy that tree to put that tree in. But it's always nice to smell that fresh tree and see all that glitter and everything on a tree. But I did want to tell you, I've checked my son's weather up there in Kalkaska, and he's going to be 3 tonight with a lot of snow. So up in the north, it's rather cold right now, and they sure can keep it up there. So with that, I'll break with you, Mr. Rick, and I'm going to pick up you, Gordon, KY6D. You don't have to worry about snow or cold temperatures, but what would you like to share with us this morning?
Well, thanks, Kathy. I was just sitting back thinking about your last comment about your son, Sean, being 3. He's 33. His weather is 3 degrees, I assume. Well, good morning, George, and I was thinking about Twinkles. I'll bet you she started just about the end of spring, getting ready for Santa Claus, as I recall the goings-on in the house. And, Rick, I sure remember those series Christmas tree lights. You know, one bulb goes out. Now, which one is the doggone thing? And I've worn those moccasins. And you stretch that string out throughout the living room or the house. And what I would do is get out my voltmeter and a sharp-pointed pin. And I'd start right down the chain, and I'd poke a small hole in the wire on the downwind side of the light bulb. And if I had voltage there, I went to the next one, I went to the next one, and I went to the next one until I finally found the rascal. A real time-consuming pain in the hoo-hoo is the way I'm going to put it. Let me buy a nickel here a moment, Kathy. You know, talking about strange things and Christmas trees falling over, when you've got, you know, a couple of cats and a couple of dogs in the house, anything can happen. And I remember one year quite a long time ago, I said, I'm going to fix you guys when they knocked it over the first time. And being an old tower man, I guide the Christmas tree. And I used monofilament fishing line. You couldn't even see it. Tied it to the tree and guided off to the curtain rods and that kind of stuff. You couldn't see it, and they couldn't knock it over. So there. Hey, don't forget eggnog. I saw NXI mention that in the text box here a little bit ago. That's one of my favorite trends moments, I guess. And in reading your script yesterday that you had prepared for this morning, I learned something that I didn't know, and that is an American tradition. You know, most of these traditions that we talk about have been handed down from generation to generation. A lot of them came out of the European area. But eggnog was something that was started here in the United States, in America. So we got something we can claim. KY6V, back to net.
Well, Gordon, thanks so much for sharing that. And hopefully we'll get through the tradition where we talk about food and, you know, the plants and the flowers and that. But we've talked an awful lot about the Christmas tree. So eggnog, I didn't know that you enjoyed eggnog. You know, they have that in the stores. It's not quite like making your own. And a lot of times you can't keep that very long because it does have egg in it. But, you know, I haven't had eggnog in a very long time. One of the traditional drinks, I guess, is wassail. And that was something I was going to talk about. But I never would have thought about the filament, but that was sure a good idea. When you talk about the lights, those miniature lights, actually the wreath I have on my door, which was a lighted wreath, not lighting up because I can't find the little bulb that's not working, and those things, it's just easier to take them out and go buy a new set because they're cheaper that way, and I don't want to struggle with trying to find the light that's out. But thanks for sharing that with us. Thanks for sharing with us about the filament and the eggnog, too. With that, I'll break with you. Now I'm going to pick up Mr. NXI, my backup, WA1NXI, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Mike, what additional would you like to share with us about the tree? And I'm going to look forward to seeing the picture you sent my direction. So come aboard, Mike.
Well, good morning again, Kathy, and everybody aboard. I sent you a picture of our tree. We went last year and we got a little fake one and put it on the windowsill, and it's only about, probably 2 feet high. We put a little light set on it and some bulbs, and all the kids called us Scrooge and told us to go out and get a real tree, but this is the second year in a row that we've used this little tree that Elaine picked up at a country store. Just decorated that up because, well, there's no kids here except for on Christmas, and it was easier, I guess. I forwarded the picture or whoever was on one of the emails that you sent me. I just replied to all and put a little picture in there. Thought you might get a kick out of it. So this year I'll be getting called Scrooge again by all my kids and my grandkids for not having a real tree, which we did the whole time they were growing up. It was a kind of a tradition. I'd take the boys and go out and find a big old pine tree that had a nice top on it and drop the tree and just take the top off and then let the boys drag it through the snow and bring it home, and they always liked that. They couldn't wait to go out and get a tree. But ever since they grown up and moved out, it was me doing all the work, and I didn't enjoy tromping through the woods finding a tree. I'm not gonna go pay $50 for a tree downtown. So we got that little fake one, but who knows, we might go back to a real tree. Elaine was talking about picking one up. So if she does, I'll lug it in and decorate it. But if not, I'm not too worried about it. I kinda like the little one on the windowsill. It's kinda homey looking. So there you go. About our tree, Kathy, and you'll see it when you open that email. And the eggnog is, one of my favorites. Jazz, too, she loves eggnog. She can be down the hallway in the bedroom, and she'll hear the jug of eggnog come out of the refrigerator, and she'll come limping down the hallway. I had a couple half gallons of it, and the vet told me to spoil her, so that's what I've been doing, putting the eggnog right to her. And this morning she had some beef stew for breakfast. That's about it. My tree, Kathy, and those lights. Let me break here for a second. Those lights that one's missing, or one's out, and the whole string goes out. My son Mikey, when he was real young, could pick them right out. I don't know how he did it, but he just looked and he could pick out which one was no good and change it right out. And he was right 90% of the time. He picked the right bulb. I was kind of glad when they came out with the old-fashioned type of big bulbs that don't get real hot so your tree won't catch on fire. And that's what I use now, is the bigger bulbs that don't get hot, and if one goes out, you can spot it because the rest stay on. And we have a reef too, Kathy, on the door, but I didn't put any lights on it. Just a reef that we picked up down at the Veterans Cemetery. They were selling them, so I picked one up and put it on the door. Elaine wanted me to get a set of lights for it, but I couldn't find any kicking around in the cellar that were small enough. I had some great big long strings, but no little short ones. everything's hid away up in the attic or down in the cellar. I didn't break it all out this year because of work going on, but next year we'll dig everything out and go back to the decorating the house and everything around. But with that, I'll hand it back to you, and enjoying the net a lot, Kathy, and enjoy listening to how other people celebrate their Christmas. It's one of my favorite times of year. I do a thing called Operation Santa Claus, and last weekend I was down at Walmart, the last couple of weekends, taking pictures of the kids as they were sitting with Santa Claus, telling them what they wanted and stuff, and I really enjoyed that, the looks on their faces, and some of them were scared of Santa, the little ones were scared, so I had to snap the pictures. As soon as the mom set them down there, I had to snap a picture real quick before they started crying. But it was fun, and I enjoy that kind of stuff, I help wrap the presents, and then Santa and the firemen deliver them all around to the kids that don't get a lot for Christmas. And that's one of my favorite traditions, Kathy, is helping out with Operation Santa. And with that, I'll hand it back to K6SUN from WA1NXI.
Well, thank you, Mike, for sharing that. I was going to ask you about Operation Santa. I haven't heard you talk about it, but we haven't talked either. So, you know, this time of the year comes around very fast. I'm thinking, our school year is, first semester ends this week, you know, and that has gone very quickly for me. And so last Christmas seems like it was just here yesterday, and how time flies. And before you know, those very tiny grandchildren you have will be teenagers. But thanks for sharing all that information with us. And we hope to this morning to get through some of the traditions, the typical traditions. But to me, the tree is probably the focal point for the children and for the household. And the others maybe are not as much. But I'll break with you, Mike, but hopefully you'll come aboard as we talk about some of the other traditions of Christmas. I have VH next, and then OVI, you will follow Steve. So Steve, come aboard, share once again about your, I think it was real artificial tree, or how you decorate it, and come back aboard. KF5VH, and thanks for being here this morning.
Okay, well, good morning, good afternoon to everyone again. Kathy, I think I said it was a traditional real artificial tree. I don't understand the problem with that. It's a traditional tree because it uses filament lights and not LEDs. It's a real tree because it looks like a tree. And is not an aluminum tree. I'm sure you remember those with the tinsel wrapped around the metal sticks. And it's an artificial tree because the limbs fold up after Christmas is over. So I don't understand what kind of issue you had with that. We do have a natural wreath. My wife, KA9TWO, Linda, loves wreaths, and there is a natural wreath on the front door. There is also wreaths on every outside door, and for that matter, wreaths on the inside of every outside door. We have a lot of them around. Here, Christmas trees, they beg people to clean their Christmas trees and put them out. They want all of the stuff off of them, just the tree goes back out for those with natural Christmas trees. They collect them and they use them on the Gulf Coast. They build essentially a Christmas tree fence along the coast to help control erosion in certain spots. So they get a dual purpose out of those trees. You mentioned your cat. We had a cat at one time. Linda's a cat person. And we've had all the excitement with the cat wanting to hide under and climb up and climb around the tree. So I don't think it really matters whether you have a cat or a dog. You're probably in for some type of trouble. And let me ask, have I mentioned Snow Day here before? I don't want to repeat myself. Have I mentioned Snow Day? Back to you, Kathy.
No, you haven't, Steve, and I liked your explanation of the real artificial tree. Thank you for that. And I did the same as you for for many years, so I appreciate that explanation. No, snow day. I haven't heard about that, so please share that with us.
Very quickly, when I get done, I've got a couple links I'll drop into the text box. One's for a 90-second video, and one's for pictures. A lot of the kids around here grow up without really knowing snow, so the university puts on snow day, as for the last 5 years. They have artificial snow, and they have an artificial skating rink, and early in the evening it's for staff and their children. Later in the evening it's for the students of the university. They serve hot chocolate and jambalaya and play Christmas music, and everyone has a great time. So I'll drop those links in if anybody wants to take a peek at that. Everyone have a great weekend, what's left of it, and I'm sure we'll talk again before the holiday. This is KF5VH back to net.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for sharing that. I'm sort of curious how they keep the ice and the snow so it doesn't melt. But your temperature is a little bit less than mine, but I'm going to look forward to looking at these videos. You know, I think in past years when there hasn't been much snow up north, and they used to put the artificial snow there so for the skiers and that. So that's got to be a lot of fun for the university. And, you know, I hear this from my children all the time. You know, I'd like to experience snow, what it feels like to be in snow, because I've never had it. So, and you spell snow day a little different. So that, I'll have to research that. 70 degrees on snow day. And it's not spelled S-N-O-W. So thank you, Steve. I'll look forward to looking at those videos. And thanks for sharing that with us. And, you know, if you're there in the background and want to jump back aboard as we continue. But I liked your idea about reefs on every in and outer door. There's got to be a lot of reefs. And they're probably all natural and not those real artificial ones. So thank you once again, Steve. I'm going to break with you, and Mr. OVI said he had something he would like to share with us, and then VXP, I'll pick you up as well. Pete, KD4OVI, come aboard and share with us. You said you had something interesting to share.
Yeah, Dr. Frosch, Alexandria. My sharing is this. You need a dessert. On the end of the party, end of the eating all that turkey and ham and steak and ale, you need some dessert. Now I came up with some dessert comments. That's what we need to talk to you also about dessert. What's your favorite drinks and all that other stuff. Rum balls is one thing. You can make a nice little dish of rum balls. Don't make too many of them because they're raw. They will make you woozy after a time. But rum balls, and there's also a festive loaf of bread. It's not actually bread, but it's a loaf, and it had all sorts of ingredients in there, spices. Some of it's like not dried fruit, but you put fruit in there and bake it. You can look it up in the recipe book. It's a loaf for Christmas. You can it's not like a bread style, but it's a loaf. It's a low profile bread, and you cut them up in nice little chunks and serve with I'm going to say Wisconsin, it's a dairy state, real rich whipped cream on there. And, and you put a cherry on top of it and make a really good dessert. Those are some of the things that you can plan also for Christmas. A dessert party, KD4 Oscar Rick India, over to you.
Well, thank you, Pete, for sharing that. Remember, we are hoping to do a net at some point on favorite recipes. You may want to send that to me, any of the recipes. That goes for anyone out there. We had a net a while back where we talked about recipes. So I'm looking forward to some of those favorite recipes that you'd like to share. So we once again can do a net on favorite recipes. We had one of those several years back, and it was pretty popular. So you may want to share that with me, Pete. But thank you for sharing that. I'm going to pick up, but before I pick you up, BXB, I just want to make a comment to you, Steve, about the Gulf Coast and the Christmas tree. I think that was a wonderful idea, and I've not heard about that. So that is a good way to recycle that tree. So with that, I'll pick you up, Mr. VXP, up there in Ohio. I see you have a comment. Please come aboard.
Send one, VXP. I forgot to mention, due to the fact having artificial trees, you still like to have the pine scent. Of course, they have air fresheners, and that's something I do spray around a little bit just to kind of remind me of Christmas. Of course, you can also get candles that are scented with pine. And I'm surprised that for those who do decorate, I remember being around with different family members that they would set up a little display on the table as far as for Christmas dinner. And they would have the, I call it the canned snow, which is the artificial snow that you spray. And I can remember one year my cousin got a hold of the can and kind of went overboard. I mean, he covered almost the whole table, but wasn't quite what we had planned, but it was fun. He was a young age, and he thought he was going to have a little fun with it. But as far as decorations, something I've noticed over the past few years, for those who remember the old hand-blown, I call them really, how would I say it? They're very, very fragile decorations that were basically made, I think, in the European area. They do have reproductions now, and I found that a couple of places offer them that they're made of plastic instead of glass. Let me drop for a second. I always think it's a great idea that, you know, the try to bring back some of the old traditional decorations. And as far as the mini lights, a lot of people don't realize that there is a fuse on the string of lights. And a lot of times they say, oh, lights don't work, I'm just going to go out and buy a new set, not knowing that in the little pack with the replacement light bulbs is usually a small couple of fuses. Of course, finding out where that is located is, you know, something else, but they do, the fuses do sometimes burn out, and you know, it's something you have to look for. And 1GXP, back to net control.
Well, Rick, thanks for sharing that information with us. You know, this time of the year, to get to the scent of pine in the household, they come out in the stores with the sprays that they give you the scent of pine. It just doesn't seem to last that long. They give you, you know, the room warmers, the that you can put into your outlets that will give that. Candles, you know, I do a lot of buying of candles from Yankee Candle, but they just don't have the same scent as that Christmas tree and those real wreaths do this time of the year, because I actually like the smell of cedar. You know, we've talked a lot about the Christmas tree, and we're getting so that we're going to start winding down. But another tradition of, well, I wanted to make one comment to you, Rick, when you talked about glass ornaments. You're from the area of Michigan, and in that area, the Bronner's facility that's been around for a long time is a very important part of Christmas time and is always busy this time of the year, where they do a lot of that from different countries. hand-blown glass and ornaments, and it's very expensive ornaments. But it's a nice place to just take a walk through and see the people, of course, but to look at the different ornaments. But like I said, we've talked about the Christmas tree. There is mistletoe, and there is about Father Christmas versus Santa Claus. And so I'm going to share a little bit more with you, but probably not too much. Let me talk to you a little bit about mistletoe, and you know what that's all about. But let me drop it here for a moment. You know, we talked about the Druids last night. They believed mistletoe fell from the heaven and grew onto a tree that sprang from earth. Mistletoe thus represented the joining of heaven and earth and God's reconciliation with mankind. A kiss under the mistletoe symbolized acceptance and reconciliation. Decorating indoors with evergreens was believed to be a way to show hospitality to the spirits that haunted their woods. In ancient Britain, the Druid priest worshipped mistletoe that draws its water and minerals from a tree on which it grows, which makes it somewhat parasitic. For some odd reason, mistletoe was more likely to be found on trees struck by lightning, for example, the oak trees. The Druid priests regarded mistletoe as a potion against poisons. The mistletoe off the oak tree was considered the best and the most powerful. And if you gathered it on the first lunar moon of the month, that made it even more awesome. Top that off with the fact that they also felt cutting it with a gold sickle and putting it instantly in pure white cloth so it wouldn't touch the ground made it even more pure in its power. So we often hang a mistletoe, but the reason for that is actually whenever you stand under that mistletoe, it's a way for a woman or a man to kiss their spouse, their girlfriend, their boyfriend. But let me tell you what it goes way back to, and I'll drop it before I go into that. You know, the custom of hanging mistletoe in the doorway does not originate with the Romans. In this case, mistletoe also enters into the Norse mythology. Their god of light and vegetation, and it was called Balder, B-A-L-D-E-R, dreamed he was going to die. It's a long story about this and that, but in brief, as a practical joke on Baldur's obsession, Loki gave a sprig of it to the blind god Hodur and told him to shoot at Balder with this twig. And it was just a twig. Well, I guess he lucked out because Balder was killed. So this proved to the Norse how powerful mistletoe was. So later on, the Scandinavians had this custom that if enemies encountered each other in the forest under mistletoe, they were to lay down their weapons and have a truce for 24 hours. So, any comments here about mistletoe before I go on and just give you a few more facts about Christmas? All right, hearing nothing, I hope you enjoyed that. We are actually, this time of the year is Santa Claus. It's the patron saint for children and sailors, St. Nicholas, as it's called. But there's also a little bit about Father Christmas. You know, Father Christmas is not Santa Claus. So I won't go into about Santa Claus, but that's this time of the year. How about holly and the plants, poinsettias, Christmas cactus? How many of you put those in your household? I want to talk to you a little bit about the poinsettias. You know, it's a traditional plant for Christmas time, and it's native to Central America, and has been a symbol of Christmas in the U.S. since the 1820s. You know, I often get the poinsettias. They come in red, they come in pink, they can come in white. But you people in probably California, probably Hawaii, and probably Florida, they can actually grow them outdoors. But I want to give you a little suggestion. If you have a poinsettia plant and you want to keep that, you just cut it back after Christmas is over. You put it in a paper bag, or you put it in a closet where there's no light. And by the time Christmas comes around again, it's there. You bring it out a little bit before Christmas, so those leaves are starting turning red. I've done that many times. And it really actually works. Let me drop it here just a moment, and I'm going to conclude with just a few statements. You know, we all like candy canes. We've talked a little bit about eggnog. But do you know about the candy cane, why it's shaped like it is? The scholars believe that a confectioner developed the candy canes to represent Jesus. The shape of the J was for Jesus, or the shepherd's staff. The white color symbolized purity, while the red stripes indicated blood. So peppermint is similar to hyssop, which is the Middle Eastern mint mentioned in the Bible. In Europe, it was very popular to decorate your tree with edible items, and I think it is still in the United States. So cookies and candies were the most popular for children because they stayed the freshest in open air. The candy cane was said to represent, like I said, the shepherd's crook at the nativity. The little hook style made it easy to hang on the tree. They also represented Christian thankfulness for daily bread. So, we have Christmas cards, we have Christmas carols, we have the candy canes, the plants, we have the activities, we have the special food, we have the wreaths we've talked about, and we have the candles that I've talked about. We know about the reindeer. And that will probably be my final comment. But is there anyone else out there that would like to make any comments about Christmas traditions in their household, or what they know, or any information they would like to know? So at this point, I'm going to throw it out there for some final check-ins on Christmas traditions.
November X-ray, India.
All right, Mr. Mike, come aboard.
Hello. Good morning again, Kathy. Almost good afternoon. Great net. I put in a thing in the text box to see if George was still listening, but he didn't answer me, so I don't know if he's there. KW4LCB. I was going to tell you about a website, and anybody that has children or grandchildren might be interested if they don't know about it already. It's called the Portable North Pole, and you can upload pictures of your kids, and then they get a personal message from Santa Claus, and it shows a picture of them, and Santa's talking to them, and gives them a little tour around the North Pole and stuff. And I've been doing that for our grandchildren for a few years, so just thought I'd pass that along. It's Portable North Pole. Just type that into the search, and it'll come up. And I'm sure Twinkles would really like that, George. You can watch a sample of it, and they'll try to sell you the video and stuff, but you don't have to buy it. You can email it for free and stuff. So just wanted to throw that out there and tell you what a great net it was this morning, Kathy. Great job. I'm glad I made it. WA1NXI, back to net.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for sharing that. Maybe if you want to put in the text box, I know you said just put Portable North Pole, but if you have a link, I'll make sure that George gets that. You know, thinking of that, last night's net was ran by Gordon, myself, and Gary. But before the net even started, Gary told all of us that his lovely wife framed him and put him on the Santa's naughty list. I haven't quite heard why he's on the naughty list. I think he was going to send a picture. But I think there is things out there, and I didn't go into that, but up in Canada, they actually have you send letters directly to Santa, and the return address is actually, they do their zip codes with letters and numbers, and I guess the zip code for the North Pole is actually HOHO or H0H0, so I found that amusing, but I wasn't able to go into that. Well, thank you for that, Mike, and thanks for being here, and I may be looking your direction at the end of the month if you're available for the global. We will not be having a rag choose towards the end of the month because of Santa Express and New Year's Eve special, but we do need another one, and it's about December 1. December 28th, I believe. So you can let me know about that, Mike. Thank you for putting that in the text box. So with that, I believe I have a comment from Mr. Pete, OVI. So please come aboard, Pete.
Put on my little switch here. I got to check out. I got to put on because I run the mic on mute. It's not there. But anyway, you can if you have fireplace. Maybe some might do in the north country. You nestle on the fireplace. You can roast some marshmallows. You can throw a couple of those pine needles in there. Not too many, but just a little bit to bring the flavor of the pine into your house. That's another way of doing it. Katie Frost, get Victory on you. Bidding you the best of goodbyes and toodaloo. Katie Frost, get Victory on you. Over.
Well, thank you so much, Pete, for sharing that with us. Yes, well, I don't have a fireplace. Jack, the K4JK, he does. He has a fireplace here in Florida, but I don't. But that probably would have a good scent. All right, I really want to appreciate everyone's comments today. Tell you how I've enjoyed it. I do see that George has put something, at least his link in the text box. Let me go and tell you about reindeer, and then I'll call it for some final check-ins to come aboard. So, you know, in the Russian folklore, there was St. Nicholas. Over 600 years after his death, the Russians kept the legend of St. Nicholas alive all the way from Constantinople. From there, the legend went to Lapland, where reindeer live. Some believe this is how our modern Santa legend makes him living up at the North Pole with reindeer. In reality, Santa is pretty high-tech today, and his reindeer are pretty pampered, and I think only our satellite radar picks him up on their scanners. But he's got an understanding with the military between December 24th and 25th, and has unlimited access to all the airspace. And you know, we've been in contact with the Mr. and Mrs. Claus, and we've heard about some of the great technology they have this year. And we're going to look forward to hearing more about it. But reindeer and Santa go together due to the North Pole area. Why no one has Santa with polar bears, I really don't know. But the reaffirmation of reindeers has been due to Clement Moore's poem, The Night Before Christmas, in which Santa names all of the reindeer. Let me drop it here for just a moment. Santa. And in 1939, a little book written by Robert May, an ad man for Montgomery Ward, wrote a little story about Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer with a big, ugly red nose. The premise is based on the old ugly duckling children's fairy tale by the Grimm brothers. The Christmas song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, was written and recorded by Gene Autry in 1949, reaching the top of the hit parade. Rudolph originated as an advertising gimmick and became adopted as a warm, cuddly Christmas symbol by the American public. He can be seen everywhere, and he represents the ideals that everyone is valuable in society and that being different might be a blessing. This concludes all the discussion I have on the traditions, so I'm going to ask for some final check-ins and see if you have anything further you'd like to share. And George, KW4LCB, I'm not sure if you heard what Mike, but he's put something in the text box for you to look at that would be very valuable for Twinkles. And maybe he'll come aboard and share it once again. But let me throw it out there for any final check-ins on this Sunday morning during our Sunday morning rad crew. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for those final check-ins.
Charlie Bravo.
All right, it looks like George, you may be the only one this morning. And when you said he or she was gone, I assume you meant the kitty cat, so maybe you can share that. But what are your final comments? And there's a link in the text box for you that Mike sent your direction. So, George, come back aboard with your final comments this fine Sunday morning.
And thank you, ma'am. I'm KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo. And it is a fine Sunday morning, Kathy. Yeah, I heard Mike. I was downstairs. Adding this and that to the tree. I was listening on a remote speaker system I have, and appreciate that, Mike, there, and just thought I'd throw a amusing story on 1 year, you know. Twinkle's got her a little phonograph player, so playing the 78s, you know, and it was cranking out the sounds, and it's about midday, and we decided to, well, it's time to uh, go visit family and friends. You know how most of us do. We'll go out visiting, or we'll have visitors that day. Well, needless to say, we opened the door, and Twinkles picked up her phonograph, and it was plugged into the tree outlet. So here we go, tree and all, coming down, following her to the car. So thought we'd just throw that one in there. Yes, Kitty, what can I say, sweet and sour, Kathy, 2 days before we got the tree, little kitty, I can't say little kitty, because it had got a pretty good size, decided he's going to chase another a kitty out the yard, and needless to say, he wound up with a run-down feeling. But had some good memories, and I was anticipating, and strangely as it was, I had my Christmas tree lights all stretched out across the floor, you know, so I can start, wrapping and start layering the lights in the tree. I had the thought of the kitty cat down there on the end of the light line, just playing tug of war, because he sure did like to do that with anything. If you sweep, he'd be hanging on the end of the broom or the mop or whatever. Very, he got very close and personal with us, and a lot of good memories. But I think everything, everyone comes into our life for a time, you know, either to put something there that we needed, like I said, sadness there, and a whole lot of joy and memories. I think for Katie there, more so than anyone, though it was Twinkle's cat, I think it was meant to be for Katie. With that, appreciate you doing this spot. If we don't get up together, and by the way, appreciate the card, we did get it there. You have a Merry Christmas. Don't know what's going to happen from here, if we're going to be here or be out or what, you know. Like I say, I know I'm here right now, but...
All right. Thank you, George. Unfortunately, you timed out, and I think you're probably still talking. Oh, there, you're back. Hi, George. You timed out, but I'm hoping to see you. If not, we'll be in touch. I think I've heard that very possibly you may be heading south, and I'll miss seeing you. But it's always a nice time to travel the direction I know you want to travel. So hopefully we'll be able to see you. If not, hopefully we'll see you during the Orlando Ham Fest, you know, which is just a few months down the road. But if you're here for Santa Express, we sure hope that you'll just come aboard and share with us. But George, I'm going to throw it back to you so that you can continue with what you were talking about. KW4LCB, one comment to you about the kitty cat. Sad news. That's one reason my kitty cats are indoor, or my kitty cat is an indoor cat. I've had that through the years, because sometimes they don't understand that running across the road there's traffic and sad news, and it's a lot of times very hard when you lose something so precious to you. But back to you, George.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4 Lima and Charlie Bravo, I don't know where I clipped out, but evidently you heard the guest, and I don't know if you heard. I feel everything and everyone comes into each of us' lives as a given point in time, and the kitty was there, you know. Whole lot of great memories, great lessons, wonderful personality. He didn't give nothing, and he didn't take nothing, but he was good. What can I say? It was outstanding medicine for Katie. I think it was meant for her more than anything, since she it clanked, you know, Katie couldn't move without it being there. But nevertheless, I'll say a Merry Christmas to you and all at large and all that comes there. Don't know where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing here within the next hour or the next day. We just take it as it comes. So if the opportunity arises and we have the ability to get together on the Santa Express, we'll sure do so. Love you guys. Take care. Hope to see you when we can. KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad to you too, George, and family, and Katie and Twinkles. Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for everything you've ever done for myself and South Cars. And this time of the year, you're always in our thoughts. And, you know, kitty cats, they're always there. They're always in want of a home. And hopefully you'll think about that, because this, I'm not sure what I would do if I had would lose Miss Cuddles. She's been around for 7 years with me. She was there at a good time for me, and she is always. So, you know, have a great day and a great holiday in case we don't talk. But with that, I'm going to throw it out there once again for anyone anywhere who would like to make some final comments. Because as I said, we have no rag chews for the next 2 weeks. We have a couple globals, and holiday season is sure coming upon us. So if there's anything further anyone has to share, we'd sure like to hear from you. If not, I'm going to call on Mr. Six Victor to actually wind down the session and make any comments. So anybody anywhere want to check in before we close down?
Julie at Alpha Kilo.
November X-ray India.
All right, this is super. Two fine gentlemen to come back aboard. And two people that have kitty cats, and one that has a doggie, or I thought he had two doggies. I'm not sure. Mike, I'm not sure anymore. I know you have two cats. So I'm going to pick up Jack, first of all, K4JAK. Glad you're back, Jack. Hopefully you heard most of what was going on. If not, if this net is well enough to be put on as a podcast, it'll definitely be there. And you know who puts those in there right now, so they're usually there quickly. And hopefully you'll enjoy the session. But Jack, what are your final comments for the Sunday morning rag chew?
Well, thank you, Kathy. K4JAK here. I've been in the kitchen cooking. I've been doing cookies. I think I probably got about, I don't know, 5 or 6 dozen chocolate chip cookies made, of which I've probably already eaten a dozen and a half. You know how it is. They come out, you got to have them while they're hot. But anyway, I was listening. I did have it turned up, and I could step in the hallway every once in a while and kind of catch it. Sorry I wasn't able to jump in or make any comments, but I did want to give an amusing story. When we're talking about Christmas trees now, this was a artificial tree we purchased when we bought this house. Now, we bought this house in 2004 after the storms, after Francis and Jean, and we bought a nice artificial tree, one of those that, you know, it's all one piece. You just form it down. It's got the lights built into it and all that, and I had it set up down in the family room, which y'all are familiar with. They had it there in the corner in front of the far window there by the rocking chair. And I'm taking my time putting it together, you know, and getting it just right and getting the arms down, you know, and everything and getting them all so they look good. Sharon said I probably spent two and a half hours on it just to get it perfect, you know, and I had it all. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Three. She corrected me. Yeah, the Christmas tree, yeah. Okay, 3 hours. Probably 3 hours plus, but 3 hours anyway. Trying to get it perfect. Let me let it drop here a second. Anyway, I had it all perfect. I mean, it looked good and had it plugged in and and the lights were on, and at that time we had five babies, five kitties running around here. Well, they're all grown, but there were five of them, and I stepped back and hollered at Sharon to look at it, and I think she come down and looks at it, and we see this one branch just slowly, ever so slowly, start to go towards the floor. Just slowly, 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 and finally it, you know, moved a good foot, foot and a half, and you look in there and you see these bright yellow eyes shining out at you. Well, needless to say, we took the tree down and haven't put it back up since. And thank you for the Christmas card. It is a very, very beautiful card. K4JAK, back to K6SUN.
Well, thank you so much, Jack, for sharing that. And that reminds me of what we were talking about with those kitty cats. And I'm not sure if Cuddles is the only kitty cat I've had down in Florida. And I used to, in my Florida room, put a big tree over there in the corner because I have high, high ceilings. I'm not sure if my ceilings are 10 foot. And so it was a pretty big tree, and I would decorate it, you know, and it was artificial with satin balls and things like that. And Miss Cuddles was up in the middle of that tree taking those balls down and chasing through the house with them as she untwined them. So I can just imagine the yellow eyes in the middle of the tree. That is a funny story. You and Sharon have a wonderful day, a wonderful birthday. And I hope that you pamper her today. And I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year's. And so we're sorry that you have to work on the Santa Express day. But we'll be thinking of you as we run the session and definitely be thinking of your household and Christmas. But thanks for being here this morning. And once again, Miss Sharon in the background, happy, happy birthday. So with that, my backup, Mr. NXI, please come aboard with your final comments.
Good afternoon again, Kathy, and everybody aboard. I just wanted to say great night and tell you when you mentioned homemade eggnog, I never tried that, so I punched it into Google here and got a recipe, and I'm going to try some homemade eggnog. Just wanted to throw that out there. I can't let the eggnog go. And Jack, I only spent about, probably 3 minutes on my tree, flopped it on the windowsill, threw a few balls on it, and called it good. But anyway, great net, and glad everybody made it, enjoyed all the stories, and we'll see everybody again later on, I'm sure. WA1NXI, back to net.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for being my backup this morning and spending the time with us. And if you have that recipe and you have it written down and you have a link, why don't you send it my direction? I can do it just as easily, but I may be thinking about doing something like that. I'm sure it's got milk and I'm sure it has eggs, probably cinnamon and nutmeg in it. But why don't you send that to my direction? And remember, everyone, I'm looking for those favorite recipes you have. That steak and shrimp marinated that Jack's going to have for Christmas sounds great. So send any recipes you have that maybe we can share during that recipe Annette will have in the future. So with that, Mike, have a wonderful day plowing the yards and be safe out there on the roads. And you and Elaine and family have a very special time in Christmas in case we don't talk again. And once again, thanks for being here. I have one final comment from Mr. VXP up there in Ohio. Please come aboard. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November and the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. N1VXP, come aboard.
This is N1VXP. It's not Christmas related, but I just happened to see on the Weather Channel they kind of did a little something. Tomorrow's date, December 16th, 1773, Boston Tea Party, 240 years ago. Just a little historical thought. Didn't realize it was done that late in the year. N1VXP, back to net control.
Actually, Rick, it was part of our program last night. Remember at the end when I said I wanted to do some Christmas trivia? That was part of the session that I didn't do, where we talked about that date, December 16th, and the Boston Tea Party. So that I wanted to make that comment. But thank you, one and all, for being here this morning. If we do not talk, hopefully you'll have a wonderful holiday season. At this point, this concludes my program, but Gordon, I'm going to throw it to your direction so you can actually make any announcements there. Maybe talk a little bit about the Santa Express and the Happy New Year and the schedule. Thanks for starting the session, and thanks for ending it for me. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Over to you, KY6B.
Well, thank you, Kathy. It's been a nice program. I see we're an hour and 50 minutes into the progression, 50 minutes into the second hour. I have been recording on three different machines the entire program this morning, and I will do my best to get it on the website sometime this afternoon or early this evening, as well as the one last night. I've got to run into town, run some errands, but when I get back, it doesn't take very long. What needs to be done with these programs, these are recorded in a WAV file format, so I have to re-edit them into an MP3 format and make any changes that are necessary and then post it to the site. So I think as far as announcements are concerned, let me buy a nickel here. I'm just going to briefly comment that the germane announcements are always placed in the breaking news portion of our website, so you can get all of the detailed information there. And it's also contained in the mass mailing that Kathy sends out each week. And generally speaking, as an overview, you know, we're asking for help, NCSs and backup people and so on. If you think you can help, we'd like to talk with you about it. We need the recipes that Kathy has talked about. We want to run a program in the next month or two as an adjunct to the one we ran recently on favorite foods and restaurants. And at that point, we decided that it would be nice to run a recipe-type program as well. And lastly, and just as important, we have made a number of changes on the website, moved some of the information around to different locations, trying to color and make the website homepage a little more colorful and so on. So take a peek, see what you think. We've got bios in there now for a lot of our staff members and some information to of interest to be learned about all of us, I guess. Before I go in to officially close this, let me ask, is there anything that anybody else has, anything for the good of the order before we make it a wrap? Over. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Kathy. Thanks, Mike, for being the backup. Thanks for all the participation. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, VOIP net schedules and general information. May be found on our website at voip.southcars.com. And in the tradition of our program today, let me say Mully Kalicki Mucka. Now that is the way the Hawaiian Island peoples say Merry Christmas. Everybody have a good rest of the day, and thanks for being there. KY6V, and the net is now closed.